Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you're all awake this morning. I didn't have to ask again. All right. So what I'm going to ask you to do is open up your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 31 through 38. So sometimes we celebrate this weekend and tomorrow, we celebrate Memorial Day. And one of the things I will say that I've always been in awe of is the freedoms that I get to experience every day. The freedom to be able to be here this morning, to come together as a body of Christ, to not have worries about having to get here or if I'm going to get arrested or much worse, to come and worship my Lord and Savior. The freedom of speech. To be able to say what you want, when you want, how you want, and have your own opinions, right? Now, it doesn't always make us agree with everything, but we still have that freedom, correct? We live in an amazing country. Yes, we have our issues just like everybody else, right? But we live in the land of the free and home of the brave. As we celebrate Memorial Day, give thought to the freedoms that we enjoy on a daily basis. Give thanks for the men and women that have sacrificed so much so that we may be able to enjoy the freedoms such as us being here today. We're here today to worship our Lord and Savior freely. We have a freedom to worship whenever we want. We have the freedom of speech to share our opinions about whatever it is that we have on our hearts. It does not matter whether you agree or not, we still have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. We have freedom. But something we always need to understand and why we celebrate Memorial Day. Our freedom that we celebrate now comes at a great cost. The freedoms that we have today did not come without a price. I think about the freedoms that we have and has been in ministry for 20 years now, and articles I read about missionaries throughout this world, living in countries that calling yourself a Christian is not welcome. Living in countries where they got to go worship with their body of believers and they got to do it in secret. But what's also amazing is watching how God is working through those countries. We're free to do that. There are generations of men and women who have served in this country, have shed blood, sweat, tears, to provide and protect the freedoms that we are enjoying. Throughout history, we see men and women that have sacrificed their lives so that our freedom may be protected for many years to come. The freedom that we experience in this country had a great cost. But all the freedom that we enjoy, we must also understand, is not permanent. There are men and women all over this world in our militaries that are, the reason why is to protect these freedoms that we are experiencing now. And to help many others with their freedoms, to protect their freedoms as well. But even with the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, we must realize, though, we're still slaves to something. And you don't know what that something is? It's called sin. No person on the face of this earth is sinless. Did y'all hear me? No person on the face of this earth is sinless. But in John 8, 31 through 38, Jesus introduces a freedom that is eternal, but also introduces a freedom that challenges the Jews that he's talking to in these passages Even with the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, man is still a slave. And then he's even showing them this, and as he's trying to explain to them that, guess what? You may think you're free, and we get to enjoy the freedoms that we have at a high cost, but we are still slaves to sin.
Why? It's easy
to tell us. In Romans 3:23, tells us this. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We may be free in this country physically to be able to say what we want, live how we want, worship how we want, where and when. But spiritually, we are slaves to sin. And guess when that started? At birth. We're born into it. Ephesians 5:12 says this. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. Thank you, Adam and Eve. So let's open our Bibles up. Let's go to John 8. And we'll read through John 8, 31 through 38. So Jesus said to the Jew who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. If you notice Jesus talking to the Jews, if you notice something there, it says to Jews that believe. So right before this scripture, if you read ahead a little bit, Jesus was teaching. And Jews come to him that were believers, right? So they're coming to talk to him and things that were saying. He says, if you notice that the Jews, they said earlier, but Jesus was not sold on their belief. So he challenges them with this statement in 31 and 32. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's one word in here that I kept focusing on. It just kept coming back to me as I was studying and praying about it, over at the word abide. It didn't say believe. It says abide. If you abide in my word. So what is it? What are we talking about here with abide? So as I'm looking at this and reading this, and believe me, John's really, the word abide comes quite often. Abide means so much more. Not just in this context, what I was saying is more than just saying, I believe. What Jesus is talking about here is if you abide in my word, it's also, it means to be obedient. To be in his word. So basically to put it, here's how I usually say it. Is if I call myself a believer, do my feet follow along with what my mouth is saying? He's talking about more than just saying, I believe. Do you follow? Do you understand what it means to follow my word? We all know this. If you're a believer, you've heard this a lot, right? Is it easy? No. Reason why, just for myself, just this week, I'm sitting here I'm in my mind, and for a couple weeks now, I've been praying about what I want to preach and been studying and going through this. And I, no joke, this week has might been one of the hardest weeks for me to prepare for a sermon. Ask Megan, we've been busy. We've been all over the place. Sometimes I think, Lord, man, give me a breather just a little bit. But guess what he says? You'll be all right. You keep moving forward. Keep following me. But to abide means more than just saying, I believe. It's talking about belief with what? Actions. Book of James. Something sound familiar? Chapter 2? Faith without works is what? Dead. I can say I have faith all I want to, but if my actions do not show Christ to other people, what good is my faith? It's not. That's what we're talking about here in abide. If you abide in my word. And by abiding in Christ, you will be a disciple of his. Now, as we look at that, it says, you will be truly my disciple. Meaning, guess what? You're abiding in me. You're following me because guess what? You're going to see the truth of who I am. You're going to see the truth of what I'm saying. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to go share it. Because guess what? That's going to be amazing news that you want to let everybody around you hear. And the thing is for myself, and I'm throwing myself under the bus here. I have my days where I'm like, Lord, I have failed you. Lord, you put somebody right there in front of me that I could share the gospel with, and guess what I did? Have a good day. That's not what he calls me to do. I got to be obedient, to abide in his word. For me to be a disciple of Christ, guess what I need to do? To be obedient to him and do what he tells us to do. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? You ever thought about that? What is the truth? In this scripture, in John, the truth is standing right in front of the Jews. The truth is standing there literally talking to them, and the truth is Christ. As you follow or abide in Christ, you will learn the truth of who he is, and by having a personal relationship with him through faith, the truth will set you free. Now, here's something I've thought about as I was studying this. This is just foundational for our faith, right? We're all in here to worship God. Right, to praise him, to give him all glory. Everything goes to him, right? We know this, but yet we struggle so badly at it. Not just me, all of us. And Jesus puts it right out in front of us. I was reading an article earlier this week. It was talking about an article I read. It was just about Bibles that are in the homes in this country. I don't remember exactly how long back this was, but they're saying the average home has at least two Bibles in it. And today, today, the truth is sitting in just about every single home in this country. It's God's Word. God's Word. You've seen the big thick ones, you've seen the little skinny ones, right? It all is still the truth because it's still God's word. And there's one of these, at least maybe even two, or how many of y'all got more than two Bibles in your house? Now here's the next question. How much dust does it have? If we're going to abide in Christ, that means, guess what? We got to spend time with him. We've got to be willing to open his word up and build a better relationship with him and to follow what he's calling us to do. But for these Jews here, they're standing here and they're like, and Jesus is telling them exactly what it is, and they're missing the whole point. Now look at verse 33. They answered him. We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free. Yeah, they missed it, to say the least. The Jews' focus for them, especially with the Pharisees and what they teach, the Jews' folks' lineage is really important to them. We're a seed of Abraham. We're a seed of Abraham. And we're sitting here looking at it like they look at it as, because I'm a seed of Abraham, I've kind of got to get out of jail free card here. We're from the seed of Abraham. We haven't been enslaved to nobody. Well, one, okay, yes, biologically you're a seed of Abraham. I'll give them that. Here's the funny part when you actually read scripture and actually look at this and dive into it a little bit. They really had no idea what they're saying after that. They said they haven't been enslaved to nobody. Can anybody recall a time when the Egyptians, well, I just gave an answer, one of them, when the Jews were enslaved since Abraham's time? Multiple times. But what they were taught and what their thinking was is that because we're God's chosen people, and that's the way a lot of the Pharisees taught, we're God's chosen people, is that we're free because we're God's chosen people. That's the way they thought, and that's the way they taught. Now, as I was thinking about this, I'm going, how much different, is this really that much different than what we see today? No, absolutely not. Because many discussions all of us have, one of my favorite discussions I ever have, I don't know why it's one of my favorites, but I always enjoy it because it opens the door to share the gospel, is, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? And you don't want to know what the biggest answer I get? I go to church. When does church save you? Let's switch that around. Hey, I go to church. Well, do you know Jesus Christ? Well, I go to church. I hear about it. That doesn't answer the point of what they're saying. We're looking at so many different ways. Do we truly understand abiding in Christ? Do we understand who He is in our lives? Coming here to this place, yes, we are here to worship Him. We are here to learn and grow in our relationship with Him. But this place does not save you. This place does not save you. My lineage, my family tree, it doesn't save me. For most of us here in Paris, that family tree is probably huge because I think we're all related in this town at point in times. But can any of us save anybody? No. So they're missing the point of what Jesus was saying. The thing is, are we? Are we? And I can't help but think over and over again how often, I should use this country, are we missing what the truth is? The truth that is Jesus Christ. It breaks my heart when I read that article that majority of homes have the truth sitting in it, in God's Word. If anybody here that needs a Bible, let me know. We got a lot. And you need God's Word. Do you open it? And I'm not talking just for adults. I'm talking to our kids. I'm talking to the grandparents. I'm talking to all of us. Is Jesus that important to you that you can say that I'm a believer, but do you abide in Him and spend time with Him? A long time ago, well, not too long ago, but several years ago, I had a pastor talking to me. He made this statement, talking about belief. We was talking about how people come and say, I'm a believer. What does that mean? And what he said, here's how I answer some of them. That's great. I'm glad you're a believer. Satan's a believer too. Guess you know why? He already knows that he is lost. He stood with Christ. How does your belief look any different than Satan's? Think about that. Do you see Christ? Do you believe that he exists? Great, great, fine. There's proof that Jesus Christ walked on the face of the earth. But does your belief show Christ to others? What they were missing was the fact that only a personal relationship, the truth is standing there in front of them, would set them free from the bondage of sin. Because one of the things they were not thinking of, because what they were taught was, we're God's people, we are free, is that what God's word also says, that everybody's sinner. Everybody's a sinner. And they forgot that they sin as well. So guess what they are? They're not free. They're a slave to sin. This reminds me, like I said, over and over again, of all these things that we see in our culture today, that what excuses people give to, I believe. Another favorite one of mine is too, is, well, I'm a good person. Well, I'm a good person. I'm going to be in heaven one day. I've never seen that in Scripture. Never seen that in Scripture. The only thing I've read in Scripture is the only way to be set free is to put your faith in whom? The truth, Jesus Christ. Being a good person or just going to church does not substitute having a personal relationship with Christ. Being a good person or going to church should be things that we do because we have a personal relationship with Christ. But look how Jesus answered. Let's go to verse 34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Truly, truly, I love how Jesus says that, because guess what he's saying? Listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you the truth. Let's get your attention here just real quick, meaning I'm serious. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. You see where being obedient and abiding in Christ is starting to play here? If you're not following Christ, you're following something. And it is sin. I promise you that. You know why? Because we're born into it. And the only way that we can get out of the bondage of sin is only through a personal relationship with Christ. And as we look at this and how he's saying this here, he says, it just blows me. He's very blunt and very right to the point. Guess what? If you don't know the truth, you are in sin. And that is what you follow. There's not a single person on this earth that is not sin, as I said before, whether a believer or not a believer. If you're not trying to abide in his word, you're not repenting of your sin, you're not trying to be an example of Christ to others, you are a slave to sin. You know why? Because you're not being obedient to the truth. And that is Christ. We go to verse 35 and says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. What Jesus is referring to here is inheritance. Anybody ever got an inheritance before? Yeah. It's talking about inheritance. Jesus is referring to a slave does not inherit anything from its master. They're a slave, right? They don't inherit anything from their master, but only the sons and daughters of the master get an inheritance. Only those that have a personal relationship with Christ, that abide in His Word, will remain in the house of the Lord. Will inherit freedom from sin and salvation for all eternity. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says this. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." The only way to get our inheritance from God is to be obedient and abide in Him, to put our faith in Him. That's the only way. The world has nothing it can offer to change that. We'd like to see it. We like our things, but none of those things will ever get us to heaven. Only Christ will. Let's move into verse 37 and 38. "I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because of my words find no place in you." Well, they stated something that Jesus already knew, right? He knows everything, so He knew this. I realize that. Biologically, you are a seed from Abraham. But your actions speak nothing of the truth. I don't recognize you as a son of God because why? You are trying to kill me. So you don't believe. See how Jesus turned the tide really quickly on them? At the beginning, verse 31 says those Jews that believed Him, but He questioned their belief because their actions did not line up with God's word, with the truth. Their words said this, but the actions and their feet did not line up with what they were saying and what they said they believed. He pointed out real quick, "Hey, wait a minute, hold on. Y'all trying to kill me. How in the world do you believe in truth if you're trying to get rid of it?" And then on the reverse side of that, as we go farther, he's saying, if you went a little bit farther down into 39 and 40, which we're not covering right now, but if you actually look into that, what he also goes back to is Abraham. Yeah, you're the seed of Abraham there we go. Thank you. But he also says, but here's the thing. I don't recognize because you don't act like your father. You don't act like Abraham, who you claim your father. You don't act like him. And what Jesus is pointing out to them is that you can say what you believe, but do your actions follow what you believe as well? Do we abide in Christ? If we're going to be free from sin, our faith has to be in Christ. Our actions we have to be willing and ready to serve and to go and to be obedient to God's word every day, every minute of our lives. That's what we're called to do. And by doing that and believing, knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, that he took on our sins and was nailed to the cross so that we may have forgiveness through faith, and then again rose on that third day to defeat death. So through faith, we can spend eternity with Him. Understand what truth is. You are free from sin only through Christ. So a few things I got out of this as I was reading, I was thinking more and more about this. A few applications I want to leave with you. First, to believers. Number one. To believers that say they put their faith in Christ. I'm in this category. Live like free men and women we are called to be. Be an example of Christ so that others will see Christ in you. Abide in His truth and use your actions and words to be a witness to Christ. Through faith, we are free. We're called to abide. So live as the free men and women that God has called us to be. Two, check your heart. As a believer, what is the spiritual condition of your heart? Are you set free and following the truth of God's word? Or are you following the world instead? Matthew 6:24 says this, "No one can serve two masters. For either we will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other." And at the end of that, it says, God and money. You can't serve both. But to me, as I look at it too, God and the world, you can't serve both. You can't serve sin and you can't serve God. Which one are you serving? Three. If you're here and do not have a personal relationship with Christ, what are you waiting on? Christ loves you, and He wants nothing more than being in a personal relationship with you. Christ took on your sins as well. He took on all the sins of all mankind so that through faith we can be saved. Jesus died on that cross for you and rose from the grave so that we could have salvation with Him for all eternity. This is the grace that God showed you and all of us who put their faith in Him. And lastly, do you take seriously your faith? I know I got to improve on it. Every day it's a work, it's always work, right? It's a process. We always have room to grow. How seriously do you take your faith? How seriously do you take God's word? How seriously are you about your relationship with Christ? Yes, we get to have the freedoms that we have today because of men and women that gave it their all so that we may be able to celebrate tomorrow and this weekend and to enjoy the freedoms that we have today. But also remember, those freedoms are temporary. They're threatened on a, it feels like they're threatened on a daily basis, and they can be taken away. But that's why we got these men and women that are serving this country diligently to protect those freedoms. But more importantly, too, are you free from sin? The only way to have freedom from sin is through Christ. Through putting your faith in Him and abiding in His word and being a disciple that He's called us to be. Let us pray. Father God, I thank You, Lord, once again for this, for today. Thank You for just the privilege, Lord, that You give all of us, Lord, to be here. We thank You for the men and women, Lord, that have given the ultimate sacrifice, God, that so we can enjoy the freedoms, Lord, that we're able to in this country. But Father, I pray, Lord, that for all of us in here and around the world, God, those that know You and even those that don't, I pray, God, that Your word will be heard. Father, I pray, God, that we take a look at our own self, Lord, that we really look at our own heart. What is the spiritual condition of our own heart? Father, and help us realize that freedom, eternal freedom, only comes from You. Freedom from sin, freedom from this world. And Father, I pray for all of us here, God, that we seek you more than ever, Father God, that we just don't allow Your word just to sit there and we just take it for granted, that just because we believe that we are saved, Father, I pray, Lord, that We say we believe is because we love you and we want to be obedient to you. And I pray, God, that you just energize our hearts for you. Father, give us the encouragement, the energy we need to serve you each and every day of our life. Open our eyes and our hearts to the lost. Father, I pray that, God, that you help us to be the disciples that you're calling us to be, to go out and be a witness for you to others, God. And through our actions and through our words, Lord, that we are not seen, but you are. Father, I thank you for this time. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, as we celebrate our freedom, and as we celebrate those that paid the ultimate sacrifice so we may be free, Father God, that we also celebrate the sacrifice of Christ for the death that he went through in place of us. I pray, God, that you help us to see through his sacrifice that we can have freedom from our sins through faith. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.